House, please come to order. Members, please indicate their presence by voting. Madam Clerk?
21 members present.
We barely have a quorum to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, may the general reflect that Representative Seaton and Stoltz have previously been excused from the call of the House today.
These members will be shown as excused. Leading the invocation today is Father Anastasius of the Cathedral of the Nativity. Members, please rise for the invocation.
With the deepest respect for the religious beliefs of all Alaskans, I offer the following prayer. Lord God, be present with us today as we ask you to bless all the institutions that sustain this great nation and our richly blessed state of Alaska. We lift up before you the members of this body, all who make our laws and help us to keep them. May our laws continue to reflect your will and help us to live in harmony with you and one another. Bless and protect all who provide special services, especially the members of our military, the police, and firefighters. Help them keep them safe in their efforts to protect us. May our service for this nation and for the good of others win us your favor and keep us in the path of eternal life. I make these prayers through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Representative Anderson, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Ledoux.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that this very thoughtful prayer be spread across the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread across the journal. Madam Clerk, to certify the journal for the previous legislative day.
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 107th legislative day.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal of the previous day be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Without objection, the journal will be certified as presented by the Chief Clerk. Do we have any guests for introduction this morning? Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's truly a great pleasure to introduce some old friends of this body in the Warren A. Taylor Gallery. Once again, we're visited by Chief Walter Monaghan with the Anchorage Police Department and Deputy Chief Rob Hune. Gentlemen, certainly like to welcome them if you allow me the latitude. Chief Monaghan's mother is also my constituent, and I'm introducing these gentlemen on behalf of our representative from Chugiak. But the chief's mother happens to be my constituent, and despite the fact she's not here today, but we'd also like to welcome Betty Monaghan Hinkling, as I know she's watching on TV, sir.
Other guests for introduction, Representative Elkin.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker, in the Kratovich Gallery, I think Ketchikan fills it up. I'm just going to do first names. We're going to start with Alex, Christy, Danielle, Devin, Faith, Hannah, Kimberly, Leland, Matt, and Melvin. And their chaperones are Barbara Kanunen, Marcella Kepser, and Yade Hicks. And this is the fourth grade class from White Cliff School in Ketchikan. I have one more, Mr. Speaker. I have Roger Maynard, who is a local political cartoonist in Ketchikan, and so he's in this gallery to catch us at our best for cartoon purposes for the local newspaper. Roger?
we have other guests for introduction. Representative Samuels.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. It's a pleasure in the Taylor Gallery to introduce a constituent of mine who is a very hardworking member of the administration that has earned the respect of, I think, all people here in the body on all of her very difficult issues on insurance. And that's Linda Hall. Please welcome her.
Other guests for introduction? Representative Hawker.
Thank you again, Mr. Speaker, and with the apologies to yourself and the body, I neglected to mention that our guests from the Anchorage Police Department, Deputy Chief Hewn and Chief Monaghan, are here today to speak to anyone that has concerns about the E-911 bill that's moving through the system. So, thank you, sir.
Other guests for introduction? Okay, Madam Clerk, do we have any messages from the Governor?
There are no messages from the Governor today, Mr. Speaker.
Are there messages from the other body?
A message dated April 26th stating the Senate has passed and transmitted the following for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 150 passed by the Senate Health, Education, and Social Services Committee entitled an act relating to the Alaska Children's Trust Grant Awards.
Refer to the HES Committee and the Finance Committee.
There are no further messages from the other body.
Do we have any communications this morning?
There are no communications today.
Do we have any reports to the standing committees?
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has reviewed the qualifications of Jacob Gondick for the University of Alaska Board of Regents. The report was signed by Representative Wilson, Chair, and Representative Sisna, Gardner, and Anderson. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Concurrent Resolution 11, Parents' Day, attaches a zero fiscal note recommending do pass Sisna, Gardner, Anderson, and Wilson. The report was signed by Representative Wilson, Chair. House Concurrent Resolution 11 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Joint Resolution Number 3, Constitutional Amendment, Budget Reserve Fund Appropriations, recommending do pass Anderson and McGuire, do not pass Guerra, no recommendation, Cott, Grunberg, Dahlstrom, and Coghill. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. House Joint Resolution 3 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Joint Resolution Number 19, Constitutional Amendment Permanent Fund, POMV, recommending do pass Coghill and McGuire, do not pass Dahlstrom. Do pass Cott, Coghill, and McGuire. Do not pass Dahlstrom. No recommendation, Grunberg and Guerra. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. House Joint Resolution 19 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 20, Prostate Cancer Drugs, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Sisna, Gardner, Anderson, and Wilson. The report was signed by Representative Wilson, Chair. House Joint Resolution 20 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 272, Card Rooms and Operations, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 272, Judiciary, with the new title, recommending do pass Cott and Anderson, do not pass Dahlstrom, no recommendation, Grunberg, Guerra, and McGuire. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. House Bill 272 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 129, Judiciary, wrongful filing of LIS pendants, recommending do pass Cott, Anderson, Dahlstrom, Coghill, and McGuire. No recommendation, Guerra. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 129, Judiciary, has no further referral. There are no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports today.
Do we have any resolutions or citations to introduce?
Citation honoring Manuel Dunham, winner of Boys and Girls Club Youth of the Year by Representative Holm and Senator Wilkin. Honoring Ray Collins by Representative Salmon. Honoring Angeline Bundy by Representative McGuire. Honoring Vig and Holdell families in Alaska by Representative Elkins. Honoring Ira Kerman for his commitment to bringing Alaska history to our schools by Senator Gary Stevens. Honoring Carolyn Klinick by Senator Gary Stevens and Representative Seaton. In memoriam, Verlin Olson, by Representative Seaton, in memoriam Elvin Courtney, by Representative Roachford, in memoriam Carol Rainey, by Representative Elkins and Anderson, in memoriam Velma Eddins, by Senator Gary Stevens and Representative Seaton, in memoriam Dolly Spencer, by Senator Gary Stevens and Representative Seaton, in memoriam Elizabeth Werner, by Senator Gary Stevens and Representative Seaton, in memoriam George Sharrock, by Senator Ellis and Representative Guerra. There are no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Clerk, do we have any bills for introduction?
House Bill 287, by Representatives Lynn, Coghill, Chenault, and Coring, entitled An Act Amending the Certificate of Need Requirements to apply only to health care facilities and nursing homes located in a borough with a population of not more than 25,000 in the unorganized borough or in a community with a critical access hospital.
Refer to the HES Committee, Labor and Commerce, and Finance Committees.
There are no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to ask your attention for two things. The first is if we could go back to introduction of guests.
That objection, we'll roll back over the calendar to introduction of guests.
In the Taylor Gallery, Mr. Jim Balamacy is here. He's the president of the Special Olympics Board of Alaska, and they just appointed me to that board. I took the Senate president or the other body's president's place, which I'm very thankful of. And there were 8 Alaskan athletes recently attending the Winter Games in Nagano, Japan, and all the athletes were successful in their events. And on May 21st, Special Olympics Alaska, along with Alaska's law enforcement community, will host a 5-kilometer run and walk in 17 Alaska communities simultaneously, which is, I think, really unique. So they're really working hard to add to their facilitation of folks that are mentally disabled, and I really hope that you will stand and help welcome Jim to the Alaska Legislature.
Now, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move that we, the body, consider the reconsideration of House Bill 216 now.
Reconsideration has been moved on House Bill 216. Brief, please. Let's come back to House stand at ease. House will stand at ease for 10 minutes. House, come back to order. Max. Okay. All right.
No, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I very much appreciate your courtesy in working with us on this. I have worked a lot with Ms. Hall and her assistants and the members of the industry here and with the chair of the Labor and Commerce Committee. I'm not going to be offering any amendments. I'd just like to give a very brief status report, if I may.
Before we do that, I want to have you sit down for just a second. Madam Clerk, could you read the title of Committee Substitute for House Bill 216, Labor and Commerce, for the third and final time?
Committee Substitute for House Bill 216, Labor and Commerce, title amended, entitled An Act Relating to Policy Forms and Rates That Require Filing, requiring the filing of certain rates, rating schedules, lost cost adjustments, and rating plans with the Director of the Division of Insurance, establishing a procedure for the Director of the Division of Insurance to obtain additional supporting information from an insurer for a filing relating to an application for a rate other than that in an applicable rate filing, requiring prior approval for certain rating systems and the procedure for approving a filing, providing for the insurance of orders relating to non-conforming filings after a hearing, relating to the regulation of joint underwriting and joint reinsurance, relating to flex rating, relating to file and use, filing of rate, supplementary rate information, and supporting information, authorizing the director of the Division of Insurance to require prior approval, relating to form filing subject to prior approval and form filing subject to file and use, and providing for penalties relating to file and use.
Okay, before I call on the sponsor, Representative Gruenberg, you had a statement to make.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Initially, I was contemplating an amendment to extend the task force that this body passed last year to study insurance with a broad-based group of the task force. The division over the interim convened its own task force because, as the members may recall on that omnibus insurance bill, we accepted the Senate version, which didn't have the rules chair and my amendment in on the task force. And they did it anyway, and they've completed their work, and their work is in House Bill 216. So we appreciate them doing that. Secondly, my major concern on the text of the bill is that the way the flex rate will work is that the company will make its filing, and if it's 10% or less, it automatically becomes effective unless the division disapproves it. It flips it around. It doesn't require them to get a prior approval. It says the approval is automatic unless it's disapproved. And my concern was that there was nothing in the bill itself that required the division to examine the filing, because you can have all kinds of things filed, like you file something with the recorder's office and nobody ever looks at it. I wanted to be certain that the division looks at it. And I understand that the division is going to do a regulation that specifically requires the division to review that filing. And I understand we're going to be putting that on the record, that the bail manager will confirm that on the record. And with that regulation in place, I'm not going to offer any amendment, and I appreciate their willingness to do this, and I will vote for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, with that, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's correct. The Division of Insurance has agreed that in regulations they'll promulgate that when filing is, even though it doesn't have to be approved, when it is filed with the division, they'll look at it to make sure that it's kosher and good to go. And so thank you. Please support.
You ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 216, Labor and Commerce, with title being amended, pass the House under reconsideration? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
So with a vote of 36 yeas and 0 nays, committee substitute for House Bill 216, Labor and Commerce, has passed the House under reconsideration. Okay, that moves us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Jewell.
Mr. Speaker, may we briefly revert back up the calendar to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll roll back up the calendar to introduction of guests.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the Taylor Gallery, Anne-Marie O'Brien is here, and she's currently the Director of Curriculum and Instruction for the Northwest Hardingborough School District. And I'm sure many of you will see her as she's discussing the issues of adequacy for education throughout the buildings. Would the body please help me welcome Anne-Marie to Juno.
Any other introduction of guests while we're here, Rosie?
Thank you very much, Minority. Mr. Speaker. In the Taylor Gallery behind me, there's a gentleman, Mr. Lynn Johnson from Dallin Buck, and we were talking about how there's a small project involving some steel fabrication that we might want to get involved in. It has to do with building a gas line or something, and he would be an integral part of that. I'd like the body to help me welcome someone who's going to help build the pipeline for us.
Other guests? Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I'm very proud to represent a constituent of mine. He is known, I think, probably to everybody in this body, but I claim him as my own longtime friend, Larry Howell from the Alliance.
Do we have any other guests? Okay, let's roll back down the calendar to consideration of the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the first item on today's agenda?
House Bill 26 by Representative Moses by request Samuels, Garrett, Chenault, and Foster entitled an act relating to short-term commercial fishing crew member licenses and providing for an effective date. The House Special Committee on Fisheries considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 26 fish with the same title, attaches an indeterminate and a fiscal note recommending Dupas, Wilson, Elkins, Ledoux, and Thomas, no recommendation Salmon. The report was signed by Representatives Ledoux and Thomas, co-chairs. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 26 Resources with the same title, recommending Dupas, Kapsner, Ledoux, Seaton, Elkins, Crawford, Samuels, and Ramos. No recommendation, Olson and Gatto. The report was signed by Representatives Samuels and Ramos, co-chairs. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 26, Finance, with the same title, recommending do pass Hawker, Holm, Moses, Kelly, Foster, Meyer, and Chenault. No recommendation, Jewell. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. There's three committee substitutes.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 26 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Finance Committee substitute in front of us. Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 26, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
No objection. Hearing no objection, we are in third reading. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 26, Finance, entitled An Act Relating to Short-Term Commercial Fishing Crew Member Licenses and Providing for an Effective Date.
Representative Moses.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a good bill. Vote yes.
That's it? You ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 26, Finance, pass the House in third reading? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
37 yeas, one nay.
So, with a vote of 37 yeas and one nay, committee substitute for House Bill 26, Finance, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 26, Finance, be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Brief at ease. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Bill 147 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor entitled An Act Relating to the Regulation of Insurance, Insurance Licensing, Surplus Lines, Insured Deposits, Motor Vehicle Service Contracts, Guaranteed Automobile Protection Products, Health Discount Plans, Third-Party Administrators, Self-Funded Multiple Employer Welfare Arrangements, and Self-Funded Governmental Plans, and Providing for an Effective Date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 147, Labor and Commerce, with a new title attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Anderson. No recommendation, Crawford, Lane, Cott, Ledoux, and Guttenberg. The report was signed by Representative Anderson, Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 147, Finance, recommending do pass Hawker, Moses, and Foster. No recommendation, Croft, Wyrock, Holm, Kelly, Meyer, and Chenault. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. There's two committee substitutes.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 147 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Finance Committee substitute in front of us. Madam Clerk, do we have any amendments?
Amendment number one by Representative Cott and Roachberg to page 13, line 17.
Representative Cott. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number one. Hearing no objection, amendment number one has passed the House. Madam Clerk, do we have any other amendments?
Amendment number two by Representative Cisna to page 17, line 30.
Representative Cisna.
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number two.
There is an objection. Representative Cisna.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, what amendment number two would do is to give the Division of Insurance the ability to conduct what it desperately needs, and that is a comprehensive statewide study to identify the drivers of health care costs, of health care insurance, of the cost shifting in medical care, and to identify the economic impacts of the rising costs of health insurance in Alaska. And this is one of two enormous deficits that this state faces right now. It affects this bill. It affects everything in this bill. It affects every single person on this the floor of this legislature. It affects the private economies in every single community in Alaska. The other part of what this lack is actually an identification of how many people in Alaska are uninsured who don't get health insurance. But this goes further to try to figure out just exactly what that impact means, how it does affect not only the state. I mean, what we know is that every single year we look at the budget, and a large part of that budget is being driven by the growing costs of medical care in Alaska. Some of that is in the purview of the federal government to investigate, but a lot of it is happening here in Alaska. It's unique to Alaska, and until we get a grip on it, we're not going to be able to know what incentives need to be put in place to turn the corner on the bleeding that is happening to our budget. So I recommend that the body vote for this amendment.
Other debate on amendment number two, Representative Roper.
Mr. Speaker, this amendment is very laudable in its goal. Nobody, I think, here questions the importance of the impacts of health care costs on everybody's budget, from the lowliest citizen to the top of the state. This cuts across the entire spectrum. It's impacting our entire economy, and certainly both not in the, only in the state, but nationally. But Mr. Speaker, I do question this amendment. Number one, the cost of doing such a comprehensive study would be, I believe, be in excess of $500,000 to $1 million. And it asks for two questions. One, whether we can identify those cost drivers, and there are that shift healthcare costs, the economic effects of cost shifting. My answer to that question is yes. There are drivers that do shift costs. So we just saved maybe $250,000 there with that one. Now, the next one is identify the economic impacts of the rising healthcare costs in Alaska. Well, we can save the rest of it by just saying lots. There's a lot of impacts. So we just figured this out. Ms. Speaker, and then it doesn't even ask for any suggestions or recommendations of how we fix these things. So, as laudable as this, I commend the maker of the amendment on the goal that we're trying to reach. It's not appropriate without full understanding of the cost impacts of doing this, and I think it would be substantial. It would cause a big fiscal note and cloud the issue here. So I would vote against it.
Other debate on amendment number two. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thanks very much, Mr. Speaker. We just heard about the cost of conducting this study. Let's think about the cost of not conducting this study. Rising health care premiums, uninsured Alaskans, workers' comp, blowing up or expanding state budgets. There's big costs out there. And the common threads that lace through them, through a lot of the drivers in the state's budget, a lot of the problems that we're experiencing today with our workers' comp, with our PERS, TERS, with our pension system, have to do with health care costs that seem to be growing without any restraint. And we need to develop an effective strategy in the state for combating those rising costs. Part of figuring out an effective strategy is knowing exactly where the problem is, Mr. Speaker. And it seems to me that an appropriate place to begin developing an effective strategy is to have an effective understanding of what the problems are. And the appropriate place to develop an understanding is with the Division of Insurance. If this does have a fiscal note, well, we'll hear about it eventually. But we also ought to remember that the fiscal note that's going to come from developing the strategy should be thought of in terms of an investment in cost containment. And that's what we're all about. We should be about containing the costs that are running away from the state. We should be finding a way to make sure that uninsured Alaskans do have access to insurance. We should be trying to find a way that we can reduce the cost of insurance to small businesses and individuals across the state. And you need to start somewhere. And instead of the piecemeal approach that seems to have been going on, this is a departure point for us to become effective in our efforts to reduce health care costs. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate? Representative Cron.
The idea that this amendment might have a fiscal cost, a fiscal note, seems outrageous to me. You mean we've never done this? You mean we've known for how long, and maybe not the Division of Insurance, but nobody in our state government has done this already? some kind of study about what the economic impact of the rising costs of health insurance are. As a prior speaker said, it's affecting every aspect almost of our budget. It bubbles up everywhere, and nobody's looked at what's driving it. I mean, I think this is simple as going to the administration and saying, where is that study that you surely have done, if not the Division of Insurance, somebody? But if really there is some cost to it, if really we've been faced with this problem for at least the last decade and nobody has studied it up here, then you have to adopt this. It's either no cost or mandatory. Because if we really are sitting here year by year having these come through Medicaid and Medicare and in the retirement system, and we're not, and we want to go one more year without looking at it, guessing on every aspect of the budget that it affects, we shouldn't. Either this is being done and this is complementary, or it ought to be.
Other debate on amendment number 2. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, and I rise in support as well. And the previous speaker said, you mean this hasn't been done? You know, in labor and commerce, we sit through a lot of insurance bills, a lot of rates. We've got workers' comp. And to ask what is the big picture, to not ask what is the big picture first, is not something in a position that we should be in. If you run for office in the interior and become a legislator, you become involved with the hospital. The hospital at Fairbanks is a big part of the community, not just as a provider, but they're our friends. We see them on the street. They bring us in, and they talk to us about their issues. One of the things we constantly hear is the cost to the hospital of the uninsured and the acute care and the emergency costs and how those are passed on to all of us. And if it's in the millions of dollars in the Fairbanks Hospital, imagine what it is in Anchorage. And not knowing what the component of that and things that we don't even know about are building into our healthcare system with rising healthcare costs, and not being able to get a handle on the big picture to contain the costs or to even understand it is negligent. And I think this is a completely appropriate and it's something whose time has come.
Other debate on the amendment? You ready for the question? Representative Sisson, wrap up.
Thank you very much. Mr. Speaker, I do need to say that the other part of this is trying to understand the uninsured, and that has the state just now apparently is working on a grant to actually survey the uninsured. So the other part of one of the representatives that had just spoke saying, well, why aren't you asking for more and where is the funding? The funding, actually, the federal government has had funding for programs like this, and just now we're going after it after, as was mentioned, more than a decade, knowing that this is a huge problem. If this cost $1 million, it would be a bargain. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, we've looked at the Department of Health and Social Services budget rising by nearly, hundreds of millions a year. Hundreds of millions a year. So $1 million would be a bargain if we could actually get what we must get right now, and that is this legislature saying in clear policy statement that we must understand the dynamics here, that is absolutely key to growing our way into the future where we actually have prosperity, because small businesses throughout Alaska know that they can't make it now on the rising health costs. We need the administration to hear us loud and clear. There is funding all over, and if someone wants to come down to my office, I can point them to lots of it. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 2 pass the House? Members, please vote. Representative McGuire. Okay. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
19 yeas, 19 nays.
So with a vote of 19 yeas and 19 nays, amendment number 2 has failed to pass the House. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
Amendment number 3 by Representative Berkowitz to the title only on page 1, lines 1 through 4.
Representative Berkowitz?
I move the title amendment.
There's an objection, Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, here we are again where we were before, and so here I am again where I was yesterday, which is with the title amendment to make sure that a bill about insurance doesn't become a bill about workers' comp. And that's what the bulk of this title amendment does, is go through the normal routine of narrowing the scope of the title so that it can't be used as a vehicle for workers' comp. But I did something different, because it occurred to me after yesterday's debate that we never write titles in the negative. We never say this bill can be about everything except something else. So we're trying that with this title amendment. You could be part of something historic here. You can be part of the first title that's ever been written in the negative, at least that we've been able to find. And that's the first line of the title change that proposed in this amendment, is insurance other than workers' compensation insurance. So if it's not about workers' comp, it'd be fine as long as it fits in with the rest of the title. But just to be sure, just be certain that we that to go along with those suspenders, we put the belt on about the normal restrictions that we would have put on yesterday. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate on the amendment? Representative Coghill, Mr. Majority.
Well, I had noticed that this is one of the first times I've seen a title written that way. And I don't know that we want to start the precedent of beginning to describe what this bill isn't. So I'm going to object to it, although I understand why tightening titles up is important. And there probably can be things happening. I don't think there's an intent here. But I just would resist the temptation at this point, and will speak against the temptation to begin describing things and what they're not.
Representative Roper?
Well, Mr. Speaker, Ed is doing my best Yogi Berra impression. This is deja vu all over again. We did have this debate yesterday. I hope the outcome's different, however. I do agree with the Majority Leader. This is troublesome in its attempt here without review. And I'd have to call an at ease and go check the drafting manual, but I'm not going to do that and waste your time, sir. But I am concerned. I believe the bill itself has its own bulletproof vest in terms of its merit. I don't believe the other body would violate that, and I think this is offensive and unnecessary. So I'd vote no.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is an unusual title change. And the Minority Leader and I talked about this yesterday. I don't recall seeing one like this, but you know, this precedent, I think, is a good precedent, because otherwise we are going to get into titles that are longer than the bills themselves. I remember, if I may, when I served before, seeing a bill that had a title almost 2 pages long, and as well as being hard on our chief clerk and hard on our ears. This could simplify a lot and can make it absolutely certain if we don't want something included in the bill. And to all the members, this precedent may be very helpful to one of your bills one day.
Other debate? Representative Croft.
Yeah. The Rules Chairman said he wouldn't waste your time, but I will. Can I read one sentence from the Constitution?
Without objection.
It's from Article 2, Section 13 on the legislature. The subject of each bill shall be expressed in the title. I think the reason we haven't seen that before is, and I'll get it if people are interested, but the reading and this whole second and third reading thing that we do and the requirements and the moving from second to third are all procedures to make sure that people, that legislators, understand the substance of the bill. And so you have to give it sort of a fair warning deal. The title can say a bunch of stuff that isn't in the bill. It just has to summarize what is in the bill. You can talk about, and the regulation of juicy fruit, the bill doesn't have to have anything about that. But what's in it has to be expressed. I'm not sure about this, the always inventive Minority Leader. I do think, though, the argument that, oh, we can trust them, that seemed to be the substance of the Rules Chairman's comments, is dangerous and hasn't proven correct, and is particularly a dangerous thing to do with 2 weeks left. So while I'm not sure about this negative thing, I am sure about being careful about our titles this time of year. It's just prudent. And if not on every bill, at least on the ones where we know there are sensitive issues and where we have some experience with that kind of a game being played not that long ago.
Other debate?
That is.
Brief it is. House, come back to order. Is there any other debate on amendment number 3? Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the comments of all concerned here. There's a lot of precedent for writing laws in the negative. I think back to, say, the Ten Commandments. Those are mostly written in the negative, you know? Thou shalt not. And I think that's a place where we ought to remember. I think that's a fine tradition to follow. And as for the trust me argument about what happens over on the other side, well, Mr. Speaker, I just have a couple words about contingency language in House Bill 1, and I think we can trust but verify. Thank you.
Okay. Other debate on Amendment number 3? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Amendment number 3 pass the House? Representative Roper?
Better put a call on the House.
There's a call placed on the House. While we're waiting, Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Listening to the argument just made that the thou shalt nots would be in the negative, I might argue that I believe that thou shalt not is an affirmative statement of a prohibition. I don't find any exceptions in the Ten Commandments that would be in the negative, sir. Thank you.
I don't know where this could go, but... Representative Roper.
This big guy... Luckily, rise for the second time, and as much as we're waiting for the call in House, I'll just take the opportunity to say I really agree with my counselor from Spinard in terms of the legal interpretation and the fact that the if in fact our drafting manual writes statutes many times in the negative, I find that very difficult to handle many times. I find much of our laws almost unintelligible. It leads to enormous confusion. I'd dearly like to see one day greater clarity in our drafting manual on how we present laws. The germaneness to this issue is that I'm frankly confused by what this title amendment does in the negative and then in the positive. It shifts gears, and if it wasn't for a semicolon and having a grammarian follow you around, you're not sure what the title is. And our Constitution, as the member from Star rightly points out, is to create clarity for the public and to announce what's in the bill. So that's why I'm speaking against it. And if we're... pretty close. The call.
We are missing two, it looks like. Brief it is. House, come back to order. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I will withdraw the amendment at this time.
Amendment number 3 has been withdrawn. Madam Clerk, do we have any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 147, Finance amended, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
There's objection. This bill will be held and heard in third reading tomorrow. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Bill 187 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor entitled An Act Establishing the Alaska Capital Income Account within the Alaska Permanent Fund relating to deposits into the account relating to certain transfers regarding the Amerada Hess settlement to offset the effect of inflation on the Alaska Permanent Fund and providing for an effective date. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass Anderson and McGuire, do not pass Dahlstrom. No recommendation, Coghill. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 187, Finance, with a new title, recommending do pass Foster and Meyer. No recommendation, Hawker, Jewell, Moses, Holm, Kelly, and Chenault. The report was signed by Representative Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. The Rules Committee submitted an updated fiscal note, and there's one committee substitute, Mr. Speaker.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill. Title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Finance Committee version in front of us. Madam Clerk, do you have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
And Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 187, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
There is objection. This bill will be heard in third reading tomorrow. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
Committee substitute for House Bill 94, Finance, entitled An Act Relating to Qualifications of Voters, Requirements and Procedures Regarding Independent Candidates for President and Vice President of the United States, Voter Registration, Voter Residence, Precinct Boundary, and Polling Place Designation and Modification, Political Parties, Voters Unaffiliated with a Political Party, Early Voting, Absentee Voting, Ballot Design, Ballot Counting, Voting by Mail, Voting Machines, Vote Tally Systems, Qualifications for Elected Office, Initiative Referendum, Recall and Definitions in the Alaska Election Code, and Relating to Incorporation Elections. Amendment number one was moved and pending.
We do have amendment number one in front of us. Representative Guttenberg.
Mr. Speaker, I withdraw amendment number one and offer a new amendment number one.
Okay, amendment number one has been withdrawn, and you're moving new amendment number one. Is there objection to new amendment number one? There is an objection. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you. And before I start, I would like to, I'm always amazed how many of members and elected officials, let me put it this way. I invite all of the members in this body, the other body, to the day after the election, whether it's a municipal election or the general or the primary, whatever it is, to go into Division of Elections when they're doing the recount, the reviews of absentee ballots, and watch the process that takes place to observe how they count ballots, what's disqualified, the reasons for disqualifying. You're there not as a participant, but as an observer. It is a unique and educational opportunity that I think should be extended to all of us that we'd understand this process a little bit better. So, withdrew number one, amendment number one, offer new amendment number one in consultation with the majority leader to address basically line seven of this amendment, which is C, a person may supply a voter registration application form with a political group, party, or group affiliation indicated to a voter only if the voter is already registered as affiliated with the political party. So, what this would prevent would be some ways reaching out to other people and them inadvertently not crossing something off or being registered as something they're not. It could happen all different ways. But if a person actually says, I am a libertarian, then it could have the L, if there was a place for an L on their party identification. If they have already affirmed that on a previous application, then it can continue to say that. Other than that, no one would be able to pre-mark a party registration when it was sent out. And you could put the name, the address, all the pertinent information, but not the what party a person belongs to.
Is the objection still maintained? Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I do object. I've struggled with this. First of all, when somebody chooses their voter registration, that is their choice. And I agree. I agree with the part that says when you send out an application for a ballot, you don't want them choosing their ballot. I know it. I belong to a group that would like to, but I'm one of those that you might all want to throw rocks at because I was probably at least partly instrumental in narrowing down the primary to where parties got a chance to be parties. And one of the arguments that I used was, it was your right to choose. And so I think that I would like to leave that blank. But what I struggle with in the lines 14 through 16, and I might even ask Bernice to amend this, because in reading this, unless I misunderstand this correctly, if they've already chosen to be a U or a D or a G or an N, why not allow them to mark that on that application? You're not marking the ballot for them to pick, but if they've already declared themselves, why not allow that? And it seems to me that on lines 14 through 16, that only the voter can do that. And I, you know, I don't object to anybody pre-marking something that you've already declared, no more than I would object to them putting your name on something that you've already given out on the voter registration. So if I misunderstand this, I thought I understood it to mean that it was okay for them to mark the voter's party affiliation on that application, but not their ballot choice. And if I'm misunderstanding this, but it looks like you can't mark any of that on that ballot, in which case I'm going to disagree with this, much as I've appreciated the work of the member from District 8 on lines 7 through 9.
Representative Kropp?
Thanks, and I have the same objection, and I tried to bring it to the sponsor of the amendment's attention. I guess I'd move an amendment to the amendment. On line 15, we delete party affiliation or. So it simply read, you cannot mark the voter's choice of primary ballot. I think that, in combined with the new section 5, gives us the restriction. You can't make their actual choice for them, but you can accurately reflect what they've already chosen, that is party affiliation.
Is there a objection?
I have him repeat we'll have that
one. We'll have a brief at ease. To order. Representative Gardner. Okay, is there any other debate on the amendment to the amendment? The maker of the amendment is not here.
See, we have, this is one of the more exciting things that we do here, so I would put a call on the House.
There's a call placed on the House. While we're waiting for the call to be satisfied, is there any other debate on the amendment to the amendment? Considering the maker of the amendment's not here, we'll stand at ease. They'll call satisfied. House come back to order. Without objection. Committee substitute for House Bill 94 Finance will be held in second reading with the amendment to the amendment pending until tomorrow's calendar. Madam Clerk, could you please read the next item on the agenda?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 93 Finance, entitled An Act Relating to Commercial Fishing Permit and Vessel License Fees and Providing for an Effective Date. The bill's in third reading.
Representative Samuels.
Mr. Speaker, what this bill does is it addresses the problems that the CFEC has faced when the state lost the Carlson lawsuit. And what we used to do before the lawsuit came out is we would charge about three times as much for an out-of-state license for as we do our permit than we do for the in-state. And that was found to be problematic. So what this does, the permits are valued at 0.4% of the value of the fishery, and before this, or currently, I guess, they are capped at $300. And the big thrust of what this bill does, it raises the cap up to $3,000, so that the you're not artificially lowering on the high value fisheries the money that goes to CFEC. And it fixes the problem. There's a couple of other things. It charges the non-resident to meet the low income standards and qualify for the reduced permit fee, the fur allowable differential. And it slightly adjusts some of the vessel license fees. That's not a big thrust of where the money comes from. Mostly it's for the permit fees. It fixes the problem for CFEC, and I think we had some pretty good debate in the committees.
Another debate? You ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 93 Finance ask the House in third reading? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
38 yeas, 0 nays.
And so with a vote of 38 yeas and 0 nays, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 93 Finance has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call vote on passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate, Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 93 Finance be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 9 by Representatives Gatto and Harris proclaiming Alaska Agriculture Day for 2005 and 2006. The Resources Committee considered the bill attached to, or the resolution attached to zero fiscal note recommending do pass Kapsner, Gatto, Elkins, Ledoux, Samuels, and Ramros. The report was signed by Samuels and Ramros, co-chairs. I have no amendments.
Representative Gatto.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Based on testimony I've heard today, we worked very hard on tightening up the title on this bill. Although, based on recent history, it is truly wide open. I almost expect school funding to show up here. However, I believe it was President Bush that said, I'm the President of the United States and I don't have to eat broccoli. He made a big mistake. I believe broccoli is clearly, if there's any one food we should all eat, it's broccoli. And we grow broccoli in this state. We have some absolutely wonderful farmers in this state. Of all people, one of the major beer brewing companies who said, you people really ought to be making alcohol. And we talked about the famous potatoes that we have here and the carrots. And we have, by the way, disease-free potatoes, which is something that Taiwan and other countries are look at and saying, this is almost hard to believe, but we do have a tough winter and we are able to kill off a lot of fungi. So, with that in mind, and you might remember, we also import milk. We import virtually everything we need because all of the agriculture in this state is consumed here. We do not export agriculture, even though we have some very interesting products, with the small exception of seed potatoes, which some countries think the world of. So with that simplest terms, I'd like to congratulate the farmers that we have here because they are innovative. They certainly are hardworking, and my good buddy Jay Dearborn, who has Dearborn Farms, struggles all year to maybe break even. And so I got to hand it to some farmers, their willingness, and his mother is 92, and she's still out there farming. So with that, I hope we can all get together. And by the way, this coincides with Teacher Day, and maybe the teachers on that day can use farming in the classroom and combine the two together. So thank you very much for the tremendous support that I've received on this very specific resolution.
You ready for the question? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to say a word of support for this bill, too, or this resolution. Agriculture is very important in my district. We have some of the dairy farms at Point McKinsey, also the produce farms that add up to near $4 million just in our local communities in providing fresh produce to the citizens of Alaska through the farmers markets on Saturdays. It's a tremendous boost to our economy. Farmers work every day. They have a 24/7, every day of the year. And this is just a little bit of recognition for their support. And I ask for your support for this.
Representative Holm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have to declare a conflict of interest. I've only made my living in this business for the last 60 years or whatever I've been alive. So,
there's an objection. You will be required to cast your agriculture vote. Other debate? You ready for the question? The question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution 9 pass the House? Members, please vote. Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk, please lock the roll first. Now, does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
38 yeas, 0 nays.
So with a vote of 38 yeas and 0 nays, House Concurrent Resolution 9 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, could you please read the next item on today's agenda?
There's a citation on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation on today's calendar be approved.
objection. The citation on today's calendar is approved. Do we have any unfinished business? I am going to, before Representative Wyrock says anything, I'm going to ask one last time, I tell you, it's one last time, to hold over reconsideration on Committee Substitute for House Bill 71 one more day, and then it will be done. Representative Wyrock.
I serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 26.
Reconsiderations are given on House Bill 26. Any other unfinished business, Mr. Majority Leader? No absentees. Committee announcements. Anybody have any committees they want to talk about? Representative Samuels.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Resources will meet at 1 o'clock for HCR 10 and SB 144. And then at 6 o'clock tonight, there'll be a joint resources meeting with the other body and ourselves in the Senate Finance Room. And it is a forum. The governor wished to speak to us about where we are and what we've done this session in progress to gas line negotiations. And certainly all members, not just resource members, are encouraged to attend. 6 o'clock tonight in the Senate Finance Chambers.
6 o'clock, joint resources in the other body's finance room. Representative Lynn?
Mr. Speaker, tomorrow we have the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs. We're meeting at 1 o'clock, room 124. We'll be considering a subcommittee report on veteran pioneers' home income requirements. That's HB 168. Tomorrow, 1 p.m.
Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today at, we'll call it 12:45, the Conference Committee on the Operating and Mental Health Appropriations Budgets will meet in the other body's finance chambers, so that'll be at 12:45.
Sure you guys can get along over there. Okay. Other committee announcements? Other announcements? Representative Gatto. Special orders. Zingato.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It was exactly 7 days ago when I stood here and talked. I'm sorry, permission to speak on 420 again.
On 420?
420.
Without objection, 420.
Even though it's 427. It's exactly a week since 420, and we made that point that the kids might be doing certain things, and it was one of my colleagues who was walking in the streets, found a piece of paper, and the piece of paper says, just lying in the streets, happy 420. So if you feel like the kids may really not be aware of this 420, I kind of just want to emphasize that they are. They do celebrate, and it's just one more reminder to keep our eyes open. Watch our own kids especially. Thank you.
Okay. Other special orders, Representative McGuire.
Permission to speak on Angeline Bundy.
Without objection, Angeline Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've never done this before that I can recall. On the citations today, there's one that I just wanted to draw members' attention to and actually read it aloud. Because.
Without objection.
Thank you. And so, this is in honor of Angeline Bundy. And it was written in conjunction with her husband, the good senator, and many her children and people who know her. Angeline Bundy has always stood out. It's as if her angel blonde hair creates a halo of light that follows her around. Born in Ketchikan on November 25th, 1941, she's a lifelong Alaskan. Angeline came from a relatively modest background. Her grandmother came over from Sweden and worked for Judge James Wickersham. She was raised primarily by her mother, and oftentimes it was a struggle financially. Her dedication and loyalty were apparent from a very early age. While still just in elementary school, she worked all summer, saving every cent that she made so she could buy her mother a special gift. Angeline met her husband, Senator Bundy, in Washington while attending night classes at the University of Washington. After a few initial dates and no kiss, Angeline decided to purposely trip over a garbage can to fall into Senator Bundy's arms and allow him to kiss her. This is a true story. I can't believe anyone would do that to kiss him. Sorry.
Hope he's not watching.
This move led to their lifetime together. In August of 2005, the two will have been married for 41 years. They have two children, Joy and Kurt, both living in Anchorage. Mr. and Mrs. Bundy were also foster parents to three children. Angeline's delicate appearance is matched with a strong Alaskan presence. Her life is a continuous commitment to public service. She was a teacher for over 20 years, teaching in the Anchorage School District and at the Anchorage Community College, serving as a traveling teacher for the gifted program as well. Teaching was innate and natural to her. Her passion for learning must have been effective. If Angeline had one child in her class, parents were careful to have subsequent siblings in her classes that followed. Her popularity and success had parents lining up to enroll their children in her class. Angeline was also an active participant in her community theater. She sang, danced, and shared her talent on stage for many, many years. She's also brought her gifts into the classroom. Among other classroom productions, her second grade classes performed Charlotte's Web as a musical at one point. Angeline herself wrote, choreographed, and directed the performances, and also by sharing her talent, she brought out the inspired talents within her students. Many of them are still actively involved in the music that they learned from her. Angeline's Alaskan roots led her and Senator Bundy to have a dog sled team at one time. They spent 20 years raising, training, and caring for sled dogs. At one time, she was a surrogate mother to over 23 pups and over 50 total dogs during their time raising the dogs. Visiting family and friends were treated to rides with the sled team. Her love for dogs has affected her entire family. She continues to be the surrogate mother to house and hunting dogs, and now many of you know Teal, their black lab, and Sophie, their Pomeranian. Angeline continues to teach us through her actions and dedication to community service. She's involved in church and philanthropic organizations. Her work is constantly adding to the quality of life for all of the people around her. Her halo seems to be a never-ending source of light. And so, in honor of her.
Other special orders. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Permission to speak on cancer awareness.
Cancer awareness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today it was my privilege to pass out the yellow Lance Armstrong Foundation bracelets. These bracelets show support to people with cancer and support for cancer studies, you know, to try and combat this terrible disease. This disease is going to affect each and every one of us, if not personally, indirectly by knowing somebody that we know. I think that it's very important to that we show this support, and if you don't want to wear it, put it in your office, but be prepared. I've had a lot of people come up, and I wear mine. My mother has cancer, and I wear mine, and when people ask me, I just say it's a support for cancer and try and do what I can. There's some stores in the communities that are providing these. I was very fortunate to find these in Juneau, and unfortunately, this was the last 40 that they had. But you can get them on the internet. I know that we purchased some. They're only a dollar, but we purchased ours for $5 to help support a woman whose child has cancer and they don't have insurance. I think it's a very good cause, and I appreciate your support. When I look around this room and see all the yellow bracelets on the representatives here, I feel very proud of this, and I thank you all.
Other special orders, Representative Roberg.
Mr. Speaker, permission to speak on sharing a loss.
Sharing a loss without objection.
Speaker, it's with sadness I announce the passing of Dick Stoltz, the father of our colleague from House District 16. I would ask that we keep the Stoltz family in our prayers. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I'd ask that you ask the members to rise for a moment of silence.
Please rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Other special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Thursday, April 28th.
Without objection, we will be in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow, April 28th.